Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And how are we doing in this world? Are you happy? Do you have great expectations? Or where are your expectations? Well, maybe we can help. And in order to help us see the world through maybe a greater prism, is a man who is really helping people do that. And I found him through knowing these other wonderful people who I've interviewed over the last few years about evolution. And so I've asked him to be on the show. He has a website called The Daily Evolver. So we are evolving. So Jeff Salzman, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to be here, and welcome everyone.
So, are we going to make America red again? What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, you talked about that. My thing is evolution, and when we talk about evolution in the integral movement, we're talking about not so much the evolution of cells to molecules, and the apes to humans and all of that. We're talking about the evolution of culture and the evolution of consciousness. And there are several stages of evolution that are online in the world today and in our country. And there's lots of ways you can slice and dice that, but one of the simplest ways is to think that there are people who are basically at a fundamental stage of pre-modern center of gravity. That is, they are tend to be ethnocentric. They tend to be religious. They tend to be not really terribly complex in their thinking. They tend to be a conservative, and that's the what you would say is mainly on that what we would call red stage of development, or the pre-modern. And then there's modern. And those are people who are secular, scientific, who see the world as knowable, that lightning is about electrical forces and not about an angry God. And that is the sort of middle stage of development that we have. And there are a lot of people in like business and education and science who are in that stage. And then there's the stage beyond that, which is postmodern, and this is the liberal stage of development. And you can see that these stages of development come online historically. We had the traditional stage or the pre-modern stage for thousands of years, and then modernity came online 300 years ago, and postmodernity came online really in the 60s. That sort of liberal sensibility about civil rights and feminism and ultimately gay rights, environmentalism, that sort of thing, really was new on the planet at that stage. There had been people who had thought about it earlier, but in terms of mass movements, that's when that came online. So there are these three stages of development online in the country today, mainly. Those are the three main ones. And they're basically, they hate each other. They don't get each other. They have different ways of thinking. They have different receptors for information they receive. They have different ways of processing it. And they, it's sort of, this is the basis of the culture war.
It's really amazing.
Just to finish the thought, if you talk about the country becoming red, Donald Trump has a lot of red, that sort of pre-modern sort of vibration and sensibility to him. And so, we are definitely have a little bit of the pendulum swinging back that direction right now.
It's so interesting about consciousness and how it's held by so many different people on this planet, where we expect that people are going to think like we do. Mm-hmm. We can explain it to them, like spreading democracy. And if we can spread democracy and create these nation states of democracy, everyone will be happy. But they can't wrap their brains around it at all.
Right.
They're not designed to.
Right.
And it's hard to
imagine. They're not there yet.
Yeah, but it's hard to imagine that humans are so different. In the, you know, we expect, oh, well, you're just born and you have conditioning around you and you have certain personality traits, but you wouldn't be so dominated by a culture.
Yeah.
And yet we are.
Yeah. No, it's true. And, you know, when I talk about the stages of cultural development, those are also happening within each of us as individuals. And as you say, you know, we tend to be pulled up to the center of gravity of our culture. So if our culture is pre-modern, most people are going to get to pre-modern pretty quickly in their life. And then they're going to stay there. You know, the culture sort of keeps people there. There's some people who will continue to go forward. And, you know, that's always kind of a mystery, but it does happen. And it happens here, too, is that, you know, we're all in that sort of magical, mythical world as children, where, you know, there are monsters under the bed and I can fly if I put on a cape and, you know, all of the gods in this heaven, every, you know, the America's the best country in the world, all of those things that are actually appropriate. These are big myths that help us to be healthy children. And then some people actually never go beyond that in terms of their actual self-sense. They may learn to function at higher levels in other ways, but in terms of their self-sense, they kind of stay there. And then there are people who move into the modern stage, where you go to school and you learn about science and you learn about logic and how to measure and all of the things that happen in the modern world. And some people stay there. And then some people move on to postmodern and they become, you know, they move to Boulder, Colorado or whatever, like I did, and they become big liberals. And some people don't. And it's just one of those things that just the nature of evolution. And
you can see it in same families where part of the family can think in a broader context, can think in complex ways, and another part of the same family can only think in simple terms.
Yeah, exactly. And that doesn't mean that they can't have, you know, technical jobs. And that's one of the other principles of integral theory that we talk so much about it on the Daily Evolver and in the integral world in general, is that there are multiple intelligences. So people can, let's look at Donald Trump for a second. I mean, don't all conversations mandated by law have to be about Donald Trump at some point?
They do now.
So we have Donald Trump who is has moral development of what you would normally see in a six-year-old. Somebody hits me, I hit them back. That's what we try to, it's when the kids are around five, six, seven, we try to teach them, no, you don't hit back. But Donald Trump is arrested at that stage in terms of moral development. Now, in terms of technical intelligence, he's modern and above in the sense that he can run global enterprises and he is very successful in the business world and so forth. And he can even, there are certain ways that he can be postmodern, and he lived in the Manhattan and swam in the Manhattan elite for many decades and was clearly functional in that stage too, whether or not he believed that he could, you know, be for abortion and whatever, all of the sort of liberal causes that he was part of. So that's typical of all of us in a certain way. He's extreme, of course, yes, go on.
I think that there's a mentality that he was, even when he was in the society, the elite society in New York, he was seen as a little bit different. And
yeah.
I think one big difference is he's tribal. He's a tribal chieftain.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean he can't be really smart about a lot of things, but he can only think tribally, and tribal thinking is always win-lose.
Yep, that's right.
And that's how businesses often operate. And that's why he can have run that apprentice show and fire people and do all these things, because he doesn't think twice about the losers. You know, the losers, of course, there have to be losers. Good riddance to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he's not a collective thinker.
No.
Because the collective mind is always win-win.
Right.
And
no, he is very much the, and if you look developmentally in terms of cultural development, human beings lived at that level of either warlords or some sort of monarch for most of human history. Chieftains, yes. Warlords, monarchs, and that real red, that sort of that warlord, if you will, stage of development. You know, there's characteristics of the warlord where they make assertions. They surround themselves with bling. They want to look good. They have palaces. They, they don't make arguments. They brag. They keep everybody on edge. They want to be the center of attention. That's just that's warlord behavior, and you just see it in spades.
And it's interesting that so many of the voters want a warlord.
Yes. Well, that's for most of human history, the way to be safe and secure and prosper was to hook up with the strongest SOB in the valley. And that's, sort of mafia. It's a gang mentality now. That's where you see it in modern culture. And we all have a strata of development in our bodies and minds that responds to that. And, we want Big Daddy to come in and set things right. I mean, who doesn't want that? That's the child in us.
Well,
and some people that's their center of gravity. Some people have higher stages developed on top of that.
Yeah, you grow
they
up.
They still resonate at that level.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of us who, would love, I lost my father when I was very young, and would love for him to be around, but I had to grow up. And
yeah.
And so many of us are, we want a collective leader who's not a big ego maniac.
Right.
And a lot of us think that way. Obviously not enough.
Yeah. Yeah. At least not in the swing states.
Right. And and elsewhere too. It's amazing to see that there are so many people who are still of these earlier cultures. And and yet, when I look at what's happening now, and I've done some radio shows with Carl Kellerman, who is an expert about the Mayan calendar, that they predicted that this period of time, within a few years, actually the civilization as we know it would implode, would crumble.
Mm-hmm.
And everything would go astray and as it is, nothing makes sense anymore. And so we're reverting to these earlier cultures that can protect us when we're in chaos.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where to turn. And some people turn towards, the tribal thinking, whereas other people are ready to be much more collective and organized and create a more evolutionary opportunity for us based on beauty, truth, and goodness.
Yeah.
That we want everybody to aspire to, but not, it doesn't seem, it seems like there's so much fear and confusion that it's really hard to settle into what might be collectively correct for all of us.
Yeah. Well, fear is a big driver of evolution. And one of the things that we talk about in using integral theory is that the first stages of evolution, in fact, all three of the stages that we were talking about, pre-modern, modern, and postmodern, are still very much driven by fear. And people have a very, actually a skewed, we talk about post-truth. Actually, a lot of people, even liberals, have a very distorted view of the world as the world is somehow unprecedentedly troublesome, or that we're going in the wrong direction in terms of things like poverty and crime. And that you know, that basically the world is in some, you know, ever darkening phase, and that's just not the, you know, that's just not what's happening factually.
But I, we're living, I understand that these previous cultures evolved because they weren't working out so well.
But, well, people always see that it can be better. So here we are. I mean, you could argue that I do argue that the world is in better shape than it has ever been in terms of human history, in terms of the number of people who have been lifted out of poverty globally. The amount, how crime and war is down to a vanishing edge. Now we see these pictures from Syria and so forth, and they're as horrible as war has ever been. But the only thing worse than a war in Syria is a war like the war in Syria on roughly a quarter or a third of the globe, which is what most of human history has been. And so, you know, it's important to realize that movement towards goodness, truth, and beauty has been happening. And yet, what do? We elect Trump because it's still not good enough. We still want to bust up the system. That's humanity for you. You know, it's like my mother used to say when I was a kid, you're never satisfied. And she was right.
Right.
And people are never satisfied. Right. And that's good. That's what keeps the ball rolling. So that we can make a yet even better world.
And that's really the point now. It's not that Trump has the answer. He might actually be even more of the problem that we have to save ourselves from. And in doing so, we make it a better world.
Yeah. You know, there's one of the sort of counterintuitive truths about evolution is that evolution moves forward often through disruption.
Right.
I mean, even if you think about the famous asteroid in the whatever Paleolithic or whatever period it was that cleared the decks of the dinosaurs and created space for mammals. Or after World War II, this horrific war where, you know, modern weaponry was used with pre-modern mines. It's a terrible combination. And out of that came a great flourishing of post-modernity. Or we think about even in our own lives, sometimes our biggest growth comes from a painful breakup or a loss of a job or a illness. And we realized that actually, if I look back in my life, that made me a better person. And so disruption is part of the deal.
Yes, and we're in.
We got it.
We're in. And as Carl Callahan says, we actually are going into 360 years of night, according to the Mayans.
Oh, really?
And we've just come out of 360 years of day. But every time there's an epoch of day that ends to go into night, because through 5,000 years we've had these day, night every 360 or so years.
Uh-huh.
We've just finished one of the days, and we're now going into the night. And the night only means that we can't work in the light of a civilization that wasn't working, you know, that mm-hmm. was built on a lot of corruption and greed and male hierarchy and ways that were really limiting. And so to make it a better world, we have to actually go deeper within ourselves and find deeper truths, deeper beauty, mm-hmm. deeper goodness in the night where we seek, you know, more light. And so it's the opportunity. The night is really the opportunity to do a better job, but not superficially.
Uh-huh. Yeah, fair enough.
And also, he says that this time is the beginning of what's called the ninth wave, which is the highest consciousness ever.
Yeah.
And it's not available to everybody yet. You know, just as we've talked about, there's so many cultures still stuck in the older paradigms. And that'll be true for a long time. But many of us can have access to this ninth wave of consciousness and do a better job.
Yeah. No, that's right. And, You know, you look at one of the ways that we sort of measure the development of consciousness is, and we just define consciousness as what you're able to be aware of. You know, how much are you able to be aware of and relate to? And as we grow from children to young adults or adolescents, teenagers, young adults, we just learn more. We learn more about how the world works. And it's I think of it often as like a Google map. We just increase the resolution and we see, oh my God, I thought that was all just a big plain. And it turns out that there's mountains here and there's a parkland here and there's a river. And so what have we learned from this recent political season? We've learned so much. I mean, we've learned that the conservative movement is not one big monolithic thing that we thought it was. You know, the sort of Reagan conservatism. We have this Donald Trump come on where he's friendly to Russia and he's promises to not touch entitlements. This blows out, you know, 60, yeah. 70 years of conservative orthodoxy out the window. That's a good thing. That's a disruption that will, I think, lead to a more intelligent new integration.
They're trying to call his bluff, though.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not going to be, but still, that's been surfaced. That's not going away. And we'll see how the battle progresses. I mean, this is going to be, Peter, you know, is this going to be the most interesting year in
amazing. Yeah.
Our political life or what? I mean,
there are going to be so many battles.
Yes.
That we're going to be rooting for, you know?
Yeah.
We're not going to stick our heads in the sand.
Yeah. No, I know. I was just, somebody was saying you should gird your loins. And I thought, what an interesting saying. I've heard that saying. And I looked up, what's that mean? And it was the gladiators, before they would go into battle, they would take their tunics and they would literally, you know, wrap up their privates, you know, and gird their loins. Right. And so that they could go into battle. And
yeah, we have our work cut out for us, but it'll be exciting because it's all we have. I mean, we're not going to go backward in time.
No, we can't. I think it was Peggy Noonan who said that this was back before the election, back in the campaign. She said, it's a choice between, as she put it, depression or anxiety. People were kind of depressed over Hillary Clinton and anxious over Trump.
That's interesting.
And I thought to myself when I read that, anxiety wins. You know, people, we human beings just can't stop, mixing it up. We don't want to get bored. That's one of the great engines of evolution is boredom. It gets boredom, everybody off their butt.
It won't happen this year.
It's not going to happen this year.
So this is so exciting. You know, I'm so enjoying talking with you because this is your full-time interest is understanding the nature of evolution.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if I may, I mean, there is a stage of development that we would say is emerging out of postmodernity, out of what we would call green. And that's what we would call integral. And this is the stage of development that that first of all actually sees evolution, that sees that there is cultural and consciousness evolution. And these are predictable stages. They're all still here in front of us. And that our job isn't to fix people. Our job, it's like a 9-year-old is not a defective 12-year-old. People grow at the stage that they grow. Right. And so people who are at a pre-modern center of gravity, where they're nationalistic, they're religious, they're not interested in transsexual bathrooms, they want the life that we had for really hundreds of years, you know, in terms of social order, that they actually get to be who they are. And all we want is for them to be as healthy as possible at the stage that they're at. Same with modernists. Same with postmodernists. We see that postmodernity has its sort of pernicious dark side too, with the sort of extreme political correct thought police and sort of an extreme relativism. They have a depressed view of the world and the future. That we also want green. We want postmodernity to be as healthy as possible, and see that all of these stages have something to offer. You know, what really turns on traditionalists or pre-modern people are things like dignity and loyalty and honesty and prudence. And some of these words that feel sort of quaint and even a little bit embarrassing as we get higher, you know, in terms of development.
But that's what they're interested in.
Right. That's what they ought to be interested in.
Right, exactly. And truth, beauty, and goodness should hold a lot of that.
Absolutely. That there's a good, true, and beautiful way to be at the traditional stage of development. Traditionalism was an enormous achievement of humanity. Before that, we were all tribal.
It can't be exactly the way they want it, because then they would exclude us. So
nobody gets to win. That's right. And just like evolution, God seemed to set it up this way, Peter. I disapprove. Yes. But it seems that, you know, one of the ways that we move forward is by fighting. This is true in nature. Nature is red in tooth and claw, as they say. And that's, you know, big engine of evolution is survival of the fittest. So we fight our way forward, and then we do something else too. We do the other F word, our way forward. We love our way forward, let's put it that way.
Yes.
And that's the two things that we have. All human beings have this in sort of a polar opposition. We want to fight each other, and we want to love each other.
Right.
And, you know, in that polarity is life arises.
When the dust settles from the war, we want to sit down together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Jeff Salzman, this is so wonderful talking with you, and you have the website, the Daily Evolver, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And people can, it's Daily Evolver or the Daily Evolver.com?
It's dailyevolver.com.
Okay, good.
Actually, you could put the there too, it'll still work.
Okay. And so thank you. This has been so great talking with you.
Likewise, Peter.
I'm excited. Well, maybe we can talk again in the future and catch up about how things are going.
Indeed. Be happy to check in.
Great. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Thanks again, sure, Peter. Fun.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.